Okay, so we'll begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, in the world without end. Amen. Pray that you speak of all saints, pray for us. Be with the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to talk about Louisa, Louisa, the Light of the Triangle, Part 1. And when we had the rounds, we were praying the rounds this morning, this book here, this is how Jesus and Mary prayed. And when we've learned over the last 2,000 years how to pray the prayers of the saints, well, now Jesus is saying, I want to show you how I pray. Our Lady says to Louisa, I want to show you how she prayed. So, as you pray this, what happens every time you pray this, you fall more in love with God. You begin to realize how beautiful creation is. You begin to realize how beautiful redemption is. When you look at Adam, like on page 22, I adore you, I love you with the same love with which Adam loved you. So when God created Adam, you're hearing what Adam said to God. I love you, I love you, I love you. And this tells us when we go to Holy Mass, when we receive Holy Communion, we begin to fall in love with Jesus. When we go to Eucharistic Adoration, we fall in love with Jesus. You look at Jesus with, and I love you, I love you, I love you. I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. See, we are very fortunate. St. Teresa says that the only time that we can love God freely is here on earth. Because once we get to heaven, we're going to have to love God. You've got to be quiet. That echoes in here. It's hard to hear when there's an echo. So late, it's usually somebody, usually in the kitchen. I love the kitchen because that's where I used to spend most of my time talking when everybody else was talking. Now I understand why I caused such trouble. So yeah, even in the kitchen, you got to really try to be quiet. So what's happening at this point is you're beginning to fall in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus is what we're called to do. St. Teresa says, on earth is the only time we can freely love God. Because once we get to heaven and see God, see how beautiful He is, how holy He is, how perfect He is, we will be in adoration for all eternity. So that is the time we can fall in love with God freely. And this is, the more that you fall in love with God on earth, your love in heaven grows eternally as well. So this is very, very important. The round book is, you're learning how to pray the way Jesus and Mary prayed. So today we're going to focus on Louisa and the Light of the Divine Will. Volume 6, 12:22-04. I was in my usual state, and Louisa's usual state was different. And she says, I saw little baby Jesus with a fistful of light in his hand and rays flowing out through his fingers. So this isn't a pious thought. This is an actuality. I remain enchanted, and Jesus told me, my daughter Louisa, perfection is light. And the one who says he wants to reach it acts just like the one who would want to grasp the body of light in his hand. So here God is calling us. He says, you must be perfected as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is a command of Jesus. You must be perfected. Okay, so he says, perfection is light. And the soul who says he wants to reach perfection acts just like the one who would want to clasp a body of light in his hand. So what we're seeing here is the divine truth with human words. Okay, so it's almost as if speaking colors to a colorblind person, or speaking colors to a blind person. What Jesus wants is he wants us to understand what he is saying. So from a divine perspective, Luisa is speaking humanly. So it's for us to draw close to Luisa and to say, help me understand what this means. You want us to be in perfection, and that means to clasp in our hands light. Jesus, show me what this means. See, there's a truth here that it doesn't just happen overnight. It's like learning French. When you have to study it, you have to go over it and over it, you have to learn it, you have to become fluent in it. And it's the same thing with the language of heaven. You have to begin to understand what Jesus is saying. So at first, it will seem very strange and foreign. How do you grasp light in your hands? How do you do this? So Jesus knows that we are confused, and he wants to help us. And that's why as you read, as you study, as you put into practice the truths and the writings, Jesus begins to explain more and more what he means. He says, as the soul tries to clasp this light, the light itself flows out through his fingers, except his hands remain immersed in that light. So we can see that it's the light just goes through the fingers, but the light is still in his hand. Now, the light is God. God alone is perfect. The soul who wants to be perfect does nothing but sees shadows. It only grabs little drops of God. And sometimes the soul does nothing but live in the light alone. That is, to live in the truth. The truth is a person. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. The truth is a person. And Jesus is saying, basically, Luis is showing us that God alone is perfect. The soul who wants to be perfect sees nothing but shadows. This light is far from a soul. These little drops of God, sometimes the soul does nothing but live in the light alone. So what God does is, and this is a glance of a soul in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is a glance of a soul who has just received Jesus in Holy Communion. They all that they have is they're living in the light of God. They're living alone in the life of God. They're living alone in the love of God. That is, in Jesus, in truth. So our Lord is asking us to begin to understand that what he has planned for us, what he wants to show us, goes way, way, way beyond what the angels and the saints have taught us to this point. God wants us to enter into himself. God wants us to enter into him. God wants us to be one with him. And this is why he breathed into Adam his image and likeness. So in the Holy Church, through baptism, we are ontologically changed, and we are then in God's image. And this is what's so glorious about baptism. We begin the divinization that God wants for us. God is calling us to be divinized. Okay, he wants us to be like him. So, the thing that we're still missing is the likeness of God. So at Holy Baptism, we are in God's image, and the more we understand Holy Mother Church, the more we become Catholic, the more we become listening to Jesus speak to us through the mind of the Church. What happens at that point? Jesus says, when I see this, and when the time is ready, I'm going to crown my Church, he says, with this gift of the divine will. So what Jesus is expecting of all of mankind is to become Catholic. Will there be one church, one flock, one shepherd? This is what God has planned. So what God breathed into Adam was the universal life. What God breathed into Adam is the universal life, the Catholic life. And this is why it's so important to be faithful and obedient to Christ and His church. Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient, and he lost the divine will. And all his children lost the divine will. And Jesus had come to earth as the new Adam. Mary came to earth as the new Eve. Why? To give back to man this universal life. So what does Jesus do? He starts the Catholic faith. He starts the universal life. What does Mary do? She stayed with the apostles to teach them how to live this life. And now 2,000 years later, this is what Jesus says. We have found the firstborn who lives the life that I, God, want to give to all of mankind. This newborn is Louisa. Louisa, when she was alive, was called the saint. Louisa the saint. Louisa the saint. What Father Bucci tells us is that one day, Louisa will be known as Louisa the saint of the church. Why? Because something glorious is coming. Something spectacular is coming. And it's the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. See, the saints had a virtue or two of Jesus, a virtue or two of Mary. Look at St. John, St. Maximilian Kolbe. Our Lady gave him two crowns, the crown of purity and the crown of martyrdom. These are virtues. Jesus now says, I want to give you my life. I want you to be in my image and likeness. And he says, you will do far greater things than I. How can we do far greater things than God? It's with this gift of the divine will, and this is what God is going to teach you. So he says this. And just as this light penetrates deeper and occupies more space, the greater the void it finds, the deeper the place is. In the same way, the more that a soul is empty, the more that a soul is humble, the more that a soul, the divine light fills that soul and communicates its graces and perfections to the soul. So Jesus is saying to us, I'm looking for your littleness. So as Father Bucci tells us, to live in the divine world, you have to be little, insignificant, and hidden. To be little, to be insignificant, and hidden is necessary. Why? That's how Jesus lived for the first 30 years of his life. That's how Our Lady lived, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this littleness is important. What the world does is the world says, the world is always patting themselves on the back with trophies and medals, awards. I mean, how many award shows does Hollywood have? Each year it seems to be getting greater and greater. Where everybody's patting themselves on the back going, good job. You deserve to be recognized. In the divine will, there's one to be recognized, and that is Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our Savior. He's our God. He's our all. He wants us to begin to embrace divinity. The priest does a holy dance every day. The priest puts a drop of water into the chalice. That drop of water symbolizes us. And the priest says, may we share in divinity as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. So the drop of water is not oil and water. It does not separate as oil and water is. The drop of water fuses and diffuses, and the drop of water becomes one. That's God's plan for us. He wants us to share in his divinity. How glorious is this, that at this time we have been chosen to live. Okay, Jesus has predestined us to live at this time. He didn't choose St. Francis to live this time, or St. Clare. He chose us to live this time. And when you read the first words of the Secret of Mary by St. Louis de Montfort, it says, O predestined soul. We have been predestined to live this time. And Jesus says about the book of heaven that he gave to Louisa. He tells Louisa, the book of heaven will be given to the world in the worst of times. We are in the worst of times. we're killing 3 babies per second worldwide. That's minimal. We're having homosexual marriages, sodomite marriages. We're having the amount of drugs, alcohol, pornography, abuse. We are living in the worst of times. And you can see this with what's happening throughout the world. And Jesus says, the plan that I have is to get you through the worst of times with the book of heaven. Now, if you notice that on the table there, there's a green book. It says, my divine will, the son of my will is Luis Nicaragua. That's from the Vatican. With the Vatican saying, this is the son of my will is Luisa, is astonishing. St. Padre Pio says that about Luisa. He says, Luisa is the second son that will give light and life to everyone and everything. She's a human. How can this be? She's a human. Well, Jesus says, Adam was a human. Adam was to give this life to his children. But when Adam fell, he fell from such a height. It took the life of Jesus and the life of Mary, their sacrifice, to bring about redemption. And Jesus tells Louisa that when a baby falls down into a well and is at the bottom of the well, broken and bleeding, the parents are not happy until the child is redeemed. But the parents are still not happy because the child is still broken and bleeding. That's where we are. We are broken and bleeding. We're wounded. And no one here on earth has been perfectly loved. We might have had great parents. We might have had great friends. But no one on earth is perfectly loved. The only one who is perfectly loved is Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And now they start to have a newborn, Luis Picarello. We have a firstborn, Luis Picarello. Now with this, see, redemption was only happened because of Jesus, the Son of God, and Mary, the Mother of God, Theotokos. The two were needed, necessary for redemption. Jesus redeemed, and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. Now, with the divine will, he says it has to be done by a human. And that means, this is what he gave to Louisa, and he wants to give to us. So when Jesus says, be perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect, what I hear heard over the years is, hey, I'm only human. How can I be perfect? Well, with this gift of the divine will, Jesus is showing you how. He says very clearly. He says, in the same way, the more the soul is empty and humble, the more the divine light fills the soul, the divine light communicates its graces to the soul and perfections to the soul. That's for us. This is what God is expecting of us. So we can't use the excuse, well, I'm only human, because Jesus is calling us to the divine. If you want to understand the divine light, go to the Epistle of St. Peter. He explains it very clearly. We are called to live a divine life. We're not called to be God, but we're called to be like God. See, the miracles that are coming, going to come through Louisa are going to astonish the world. As Father Bucci says, Jesus is going to show the world who Louisa the Santa, the Louisa the Saint of the Church is. And if you've just heard of Louisa and go, why haven't I heard this before? It's because this is a secret. The guy has a lot of secrets. Why, like at Bethlehem, there's a few wise men and a couple shepherds. That's it. No priests. Just some people that smell like sheep. And you know how sheep smell. And people who were so-called the astrologers, It's just like, you know, it's like somebody wearing a scab. Why are you wearing a scab? It's very superstitious. This is, Jesus keeps everything a secret. Let's look at it. Every Catholic church in the tabernacle with us, photo like that, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Almighty, is in that church. And the church is erected. It's a secret. Scapulars, that's the clothing of heaven. Our Lady says three things. Pray the rosary, wear the scapular, and do make your first Sabbath. That's all she asks. It's a secret. Very, very few people know about it. When Jesus was born, there were two people there, Joseph and Mary. When Jesus had the Last Supper, there were 12 people there. This is the first Holy Mass. 12 people. When Jesus rose from the dead, nobody was there. When Jesus ascended into heaven, there was 120 people there. What Jesus loves, he keeps hidden. He keeps secret. As a matter of fact, the apostle said, you know, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus says, I speak in parables so that they will not hear. See, but the reason is, when somebody says no, that's it. When somebody says, no, I don't want what God wants, God takes them at their word. If we love Jesus, it's always being, let it be done to me, as you say. It's always being docile. It's always being submissive. It's always being surrendered. And these are words that are hated, especially today. I will not submit. I will not obey. I will not submit. I am I. That's what we're supposed to say. Our response is to turn to Jesus and what he has done, he says, I'm ready to crown my church with the few that are left. You know, so he wants to give us this gift. And it's not that we're anything. We are at the bottom of the barrel. And you know what's at the bottom of the barrel? It's sort of slimy and green. That's us. Everybody else is doing what they want. Yes, the bottom of the barrel is the beginning of the fermentation. And Jesus is making a great wine. I tell the people, I make wine, I tell the people in the prayer group, you know, please don't wash your feet for at least 3 weeks before you go and crush the grapes. I want this thing to really ferment. I want it really to bubble. I remember the first time I picked grapes, I took off everything I possibly could take off. And an Italian man came up to me and he says, what are you doing? He says, put in the spices, put in the garlic, put in the... I go, but I want a real good wine. He goes, you're not going to get good wine with just grapes. So I just make sure that when people crush my grapes, they make sure that they got a lot of toji. It's going to help make that for them. But that's us. We are nothing. And God wants to prove to the world that we are not doing this, that he is doing this. He loves us. And he's basically said, you know, it's funny. A lot of people say, well, Jesus says, I'll be with you to the end of time. Well, that's a billion years down the road. That's not what Jesus is saying. We were brought into eternity. That's where Adam lived. Adam lived in eternity. That's where we're supposed to live. When Adam sinned, he had to leave eternity, and he was trapped in time and space where the devil is. That's why everything goes wrong. I mean, if you really think about it. What Jesus is looking for is for us to be ready to re-enter into eternity where we're supposed to be. That's what he's planning. So a lot of people say, remember Our Lady said once, I remember she said that you have to change now. Because if you don't change now, you will have no time to change. And I'm going, well, at least I can make a good act of contrition. When time ends, we enter into eternity where we're supposed to be. See, we're not supposed to be food for worms. Our bodies are food for worms. That's what Scripture says. I remember when I was ordained, I used the first in Isaiah, O maggot Judah, O worm Israel. Worm Israel, maggot Judah. And my bishop looked at me like, what are you doing? And I'm going, for this, I'm starting where I am. That we are nothing. God is everything. Yet God wants us to share in His divinity. So He's getting us ready. Because we're supposed to live in eternity with a glorified body. Not a body that dies. Death was never part of God's plan. Ever. He planned for us to live eternally young as God is eternally young. And this is what's coming. So, Jesus is showing us in this first paragraph here that if you're little, if you're simple, if you're humble, and to have humility, the saints tell us this, to have humility, you must be humiliated. Okay? And anybody who wants to be humiliated, just hang around me a little bit, and I'll show you. Humility is necessary. You have to be misunderstood, you have to be abandoned, you have to be spit upon, you have to be ignored, you have to be ridiculed, you have to be laughed at. And if that isn't happening, something's wrong. You go to church on Sunday, you go to confession, you wear the scapular, you pray the rosary, you're faithful to the church, what's wrong with you? If that isn't going on in your life, something's wrong. You know, in the vestments that the Catholic priest wears in the Latin Mass, the front of the vestment is a pillar. The back of the vestment is a cross. The reason is the priest must be scourged and must be crucified. And the ones who normally do this to the priest are the parishioners. But you have, the priest has to be scourged. He has to be crucified. Why? For standing up for the truth. And if he doesn't stand up for the truth, if he's not ridiculed, laughed at, spit upon, ignored, something is wrong. And it's the same thing for us. We are Catholics. And the thing that always astonished me is when Jonah was in the boat, and the boat was shipping water, they said, who has done this? And they pointed to Jonah. They said, who are you? And he says, I am a Hebrew. We should be saying the same thing. So let's go to Volume 6, 1:14-06. My daughter Louisa, I am. See, Jesus always uses his name. I am not content when only glimmers of light come out of a soul. That's what the saints did. The saints gave out glimmers of light. I am not content when only glimmers of light comes out of a soul. I, God, want that the soul's thought be light. I want that the light be the word. I want the light be the desire. I want the light to be works. I want the light to be steps, that these lights unite together form a sun, so that in this sun my whole image may be formed. Now, the books here from the Vatican, the Vatican said, the son of my will is Louisa. That's from the Vatican. And some people say, well, where's the imprimatur? Just to let you know. The imprimatur is in a diocese. If I wrote a book and I presented it to my bishop would give it to the censor in the diocese. The censor in the diocese would go through the book to see if there's anything against faith or morals. He would put his nihil obstat on it. Then he hands it to the bishop. The bishop then put his imprimatur on it, and the book is approved. The Vatican doesn't need to do that. Why? Because the Vatican is the center of the church. It doesn't have the imprimatur. So if you don't see an imprimatur on the book, don't worry about it. God's got plans. And as you read this, you're going to be filled with such joy of what God is going to bring to the earth that your life can never be the same. Because Jesus says this, I don't want only a glimmer of light which I've seen in the saints. I want you to be filled with light. Your word, your desire, your works, your steps, they must be light, the light of God. You know that together it will form a sun, S-U-N, so that this sun of my whole image of Jesus be formed. That's why you came to earth as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve, to begin to live their life. It's not just to be good, holy, and saintly. That's for the saints. It's now to begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. That is what heaven is. That's what they gave to Louisa. So he says, and this happens when the soul does everything. Everything for me. How can we do everything for God? How? The soul becomes all light. The soul becomes like God. Image and likeness. See, Jesus, see, Lucifer was the light bearer, the bearer of light. And when God said, basically, when he gave him the task, Lucifer said, I am. I will not serve, I will not obey. Everything went into darkness. Jesus comes as the light of the world. And what does Jesus say to his apostles? You must be the light of the world. Not your own light, but you must reflect me. That's why it says, and this happens when the soul does everything for me, because the soul becomes all light. And just as the one who wants to enter into the solar light finds no obstacles to entering it, so do I, God, find no obstacle in this sun, this creature, which is made for a whole life being. Okay? Our God is created. What did St. Louis de Montfort say? St. Louis de Montfort says, in the final days, there will be the greatest saints in the history of the world, in the history of the church, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. This is what's sort of astonishing. So Jesus says this, on the other hand, the one who is not all light, I, God, find many hindrances to forming my image in them. So we've heard that there's many a saint who had to spend time in purgatory. Why? Because they weren't perfect. So you only can get into heaven if you're perfect. So that's why in purgatory you are purged of everything. For example, we're going to see who we have been feeding all our life. Okay? You're going to recognize the demons within that you have been feeding. Okay? So Jesus wants to free you of this. Okay, one of the worst demons that people have is worry. I've had women come up to me, Father, I've got to worry about my family, I've got to worry about my health, I've got to worry about that point. Worry says to Jesus, you're not a good God. And every time you worry, you're feeding the demon of worry. You're keeping it alive in you. Jesus says, does worry add one moment to your life? He says, of course it doesn't. And then Jesus' command is, then stop worrying. Every time you worry, you keep the demon of worry alive. And that interweaves into your whole system, like cloth, interweaving. And you'll have to go to purgatory to get rid of every worry, every thought, every word, every deed of worry. You can't get to heaven until that demon of worry is gone. So Jesus says, stop worrying. That's just one. Fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin. You have to be free of all of that to get to heaven. Well, I'm not going to worry about too much, but I'm going to complain about this one thing. See, I thought God gave me the gift of complaining, and I used it as much as I possibly could. It's you, we have to be free of it. really, in the day of illumination of conscience, we're going to see how we have kept these demons alive in us by feeding them. Every time you become afraid, you're feeding the demon of fear. Stop being afraid. Trust in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. Have confidence in Jesus. Jesus is our everything. This is why this year of divine mercy is so important. Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in you. What happens as you enter into this gift of the divine will, Jesus frees you from these demons. Worry, again, many of the demons are worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We have to begin to live a life of trust. I believe in Jesus. Christian hope is certainty. I am certain that God is going to answer my prayer. I am confident. This is why he says, on the other hand, the one who is not all light, Jesus, the truth, finds men, I God, and I many images forming my divine image in them. Romans 7:6-20, 06. My daughter Louisa, everything must be reduced to one single word. Okay, so this must is important. This is the hope of Jesus. I hope this be reduced. It is a fact. This must happen. When Jesus was found at the temple by Joseph and Mary, Our Lady said to Jesus, why did you do this to your father and I? And Jesus said, did you not know I must be in my Father's house? It's a divine decree. When Jesus said to Peter, who am I? And Peter says, you are the Messiah. He said, the Father has told you this, and now you are the rock. And then he says, Peter, but you must understand this. He says, Jesus says that the Messiah must be rejected. He must be crucified. And he must rise from the dead. This isn't a hope of Jesus. I hope you hope him. This is a divine decree. It's going to happen. So Jesus says this. Jesus said to Louisa, everything must be reduced to a single point. That is, everything must become a flame of love. Okay, this fire from heaven is coming. It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon the earth. Everything must become flame. From this flame, filter, press, beat, is the most pure light comes out. Not like the light of a fire, but of a sun, S-U-N, fully similar to the light that surrounds me, Jesus. You see, the love of God is coming upon the earth. Our Lady said, it's going to be good for some, it's going to be bad for most. How can something be good and bad at the same time? It depends on the soul. If you are in love with Jesus, this fire that's coming will be excellent. If you do not love Jesus, it will be wailing and grinding of teeth. It's symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. This fire that's coming upon the earth is the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to be terrified of. There's only one person who's terrified of this, and that is the devil, because his kingdom is coming to an end. God's kingdom is going to reign. That's what he's telling Louisa. Get ready for the kingdom. It's coming soon. John Paul II taught us that in 1978. He knew what St. Faustina said. He believed what St. Faustina said. He fought for St. Faustina. 6 months later, he became Pope. What did he say? What did Jesus say to St. Faustina? He said, very clearly, the final devotion that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. We've had divine mercy officially in the church since the year 2000. This year is the year of divine mercy. This is not by chance. You have to understand, this is not by chance. God's getting ready for something. This year has been planned from the beginning of time. And what Jesus said to Faustina, saying, Faustina, is divine mercy will come before divine justice. He says to Louisa, my mother brings divine mercy to the earth. You, Louisa, are going to bring divine justice to the earth. That's what's coming. So what is God doing? God is saying to everybody, what do you want? Do you want to kill your children? Do you want to live alternative lifestyles? Do you want to do drugs? What do you want? What will make you happy? What do you wish for? What do you pray for? Because you're going to get it. That's divine justice. And he looks at us and he says, what do you want? We said, I want to be faithful and obedient to you and your church. Jesus says, really? You really want to? Prove it to me. So how do we keep holy the Sabbath? How do we make sure that the Sabbath is kept holy as Catholics? I remember the blue law in New York State. You couldn't shop on Sunday. And the first person who fought for it to break that law was a Catholic in our state. What do we do on Sunday? Is Sunday another Saturday? I really never shop on a Sunday. I don't shop. But I never shop on a Sunday. And I remember I needed something, and I said, I hate to do this, Lord, but I've got to buy this. And so I went to the store, and it was filled. I mean, the mall was packed. I said, what's going on? I said, what's happening? And they said, well, this happens every Sunday. I said, I could not believe. I thought I'd be walking into a store alone. I really did. I honestly believe it. I walk in, and it's packed with people. We cheer more over pigskin being thrown from one part of the stadium to the other than cheer for Jesus Christ. You see, we've got to become Catholic again. Because what's coming is the universal life, the Catholic life. Jesus tells that to at least every Jew, every Buddhist, every Hindu, every Muslim, every Protestant will become Catholic. What's coming is so spectacular that everyone who survives, Jesus says, will be Catholic. The great things are right around the corner, and Jesus is really asking us to be the ones to help bring this about. Okay, so he says this. The soul who has become light, L-I-G-H-T, cannot be away from the divine light. Rather, my divine light absorbs the soul into itself and transports the soul into heaven. And that's what you get as you read these volumes. You become joy-filled, peaceful. You become happy. Therefore, courage. And those were the first words of Pope Benedict. When Pope Benedict became Pope, he says, be courageous. You must have courage. What's coming is going to be very tough. Yet, we're going to get through this, Jesus says. This is the complete crucifixion of the soul. Don't you see how your light is ready to about to take off from the flame, and my light awaits it in order to absorb it? So we are going to enter into God, where we're supposed to be, in God's image and likeness. And while he was saying this, I looked at myself and I saw a great flame inside of me, and a tiny little flame of light came out of it, which was about to detach itself and take flight. Who can describe my contentment at the thought of dying, at the thought of being always with my only and highest good, Jesus, with my life, with my center? I, Louisa, felt paradise in advance. That's what happens as you read. You begin to live heaven on earth. And what Jesus is going to show you, he had not shown the saints. Why? Because it wasn't time. Look at the great saints of the Old Testament. You know, Moses, Elijah, and David, and Solomon, Samson, great, great men. Women of the Old Testament. None of them were ontologically changed to holy baptism. None of them received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. None of them received the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why? It wasn't time. Jesus, then, for those in redemption, has given them the sacraments, given us the sacraments. And now Jesus says, I've saved the best for last. That's this gift of the divine will, to enter into God in God's image and likeness. That's what he wants for us. That's why we're alive today. You cannot believe how happy God is. Each and every one of us in this room is so important to God that we are more important than everything that exists in creation. God has planned for us to be alive. He's depending on us to live this life so that the kingdom can be established first in us on earth, as it is in heaven, and then to all the world. So we'll end there and have a 15-minute break in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.